Friends, our passage is, as we continue to explore Jesus and water stories in the Bible, continue this week from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Listen for the word of the Lord. Once while Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On October 15th, 1997, the Cassini spacecraft was launched. This last week, 20 years later, it crashed into Saturn's outer atmosphere after 20 years of exploration. When it lifted off back in 1997, we thought we knew so much about Saturn. Cassini surprised us. The moons of Saturn, when it blasted off, we thought Saturn had 18 moons. And now we know Saturn has 62 moons. Cassini showed that every moon in the Saturn system is unique in character with its own mysteries. Titan has a rich variety of complex organic chemicals. The tiny moon Enceladus spouts towering jets of ice and water vapor. And underneath its icy crust, there is some sort of ocean. One moon looks like a giant sponge. Because it is so soft, if something hits it, it just collapses and sinks in. Two of the moons may be potentially habitable in some sort of way. Saturn itself, the vapor from its plumes that spout up are broken apart by sunlight, and liberated oxygen spreads throughout Saturn's magnetic bubble. Not much, but some. And after all these years of exploration, among the things that we still don't know is how long Saturn's day is. Is it 10.6 hours or 10.8? We don't know. There were all these things we thought we knew, but we were surprised. That sense of surprise is an orientation, an attitude, a way that you orient yourself in life. Jewish theologian Martin Buber was quoted on NPR this morning, in which Buber said, "A sign that someone has died is when they lose the capacity for surprise." Usually when this passage from Luke is talked about, what they focus on is what a great practical move Jesus made. This big crowd is there. He can't be seen or heard. So he goes out on a boat and speaks from the boat. And it may be a practical thing, but I want to suggest maybe there's something else. Because you see, everywhere else in the Bible, when someone is speaking from a particular place, when it mentions that place, there's a theological statement being made. Moses standing on the mountaintop, Elijah diving into the crevice, David hiding in a cave, the psalmist walking through the valley of the shadow of death and fearing no evil. All these other images of places are making a symbolic statement. I think the same is true for Jesus on that boat. He's on the sea teaching. The crowds, they're on solid land. The land is rocky. It's not moving. It's not going anywhere. Jesus is out on the boat in the waves, on the surface of things. And then he calls his disciple to go out into the deep water. The deep water, because there's something underneath yet to be experienced and discovered. I think that's an image that Jesus is drawing us to the depths. Paul Tillich, the great theologian of the last century, said, "There are dimensions of depth that lie beneath the surface, infinite, inexhaustible dimensions of depth." Tillich was making the case that when we talk about depth, it's a way of thinking about and even encountering God. To encounter God in the depths. Like Cassini and those moons of Saturn, we thought we knew, but the depths of what we didn't know surprised us. Wave upon wave, we were surprised. Doesn't the same thing happen with people you know? You think you know someone. You may have known them all your life. You think you know them very well. But then something happens, and they surprise you. They may disappoint you, or they may absolutely delight you. But they will, sooner or later, surprise you. And then you have to revise your impression of who they are. Move to a deeper level of understanding. And then again, you experience something new in them, and you move to a deeper level still. Of course, in terms of our attitude, our orientation, we may resist the opportunity to go deeper. But I think what God helps us to do and what Christ is pointing out is for us to orient ourselves in life toward a sense of openness to the surprise, to the depth of what God is giving to us. Now, I said this about other people. They may surprise you, but the same is true of ourselves, is it not? Sometimes when you look at yourself, you think you know who you are, but then something happens and you are not who you thought you were. You have to revise your understanding of yourself. New experiences reshape us. New questions, new feelings, new moods, new dreams, new hopes, and new expectations of ourself arise. Just as we may not be transparent to others, we may not be transparent even to ourselves. We get scared, we get frightened, we get nervous, it's too disturbing. We resist going deeper and taking a harder look at ourselves. But then Jesus speaks to us. Jesus speaks to us and says, come out to the deep water. Because in the depth where we experience God, our lives will be richer from the new truth that is revealed to us. It only happens in the depths. So much of the world around us may seem obvious, but then something happens. All of a sudden, we have an opportunity to go deeper, and things that used to seem so obvious, so taken for granted, are not how they see can happen in the submicroscopic universe where in the subatomic level, the things that are solid, you know, that we've discovered that they're fluid, they're moving. What we thought we knew, we didn't know, and there's something more for us in the mystery of the sense of the depth takes us into a deeper reality, and I think a deeper sense of God's good creation. The galaxies beyond us have unfathomable riches of phenomena that we have yet to experience. I don't think we can even imagine what's out there. But the same is true on our everyday assumptions of how the world we live in is. Sometimes we need to let our pet paradigms go because all of a sudden something from beneath has risen up and God has shown us something new. And then that depth becomes our new reality. We can have an attitude of fear and fear the abyss, run from it, or we can hold it in a sense of awe and learn what God has to teach us from this newness. What is beneath the surface, out in the deep, had evaded us maybe for the whole human history. We weren't ready, but now something's changed and our eyes are open and all of a sudden we can see if we so choose to open ourselves and to orient ourselves to the gift that God is giving us. It also happens in institutions, in politics, in economics, in history. We had a shallow understanding of how things were. We were comfortable with what the surface was all about. But then God comes along. God shows up. God knocks on the bottom of our boat because there's something in the depth that is about to come and surprise us. And maybe centuries of assumptions of what we had taken to be normal are all of a sudden shattered, changed, and it's a moment when God is bringing us newness and transformation. There's more. There's wonder. God sets it before us, and it's up to us to orient ourselves properly with a sense of awe at the beauty, the wonder, the mystery. Think about great classics in literature. Books that people have been reading for generations and generations, and all of a sudden somebody sees something new in this. At one professor, he'd spent his entire career studying Dante, And he says he did it because he kept on seeing something new. It kept surprising him, this one body of literature. The classics in literature and music call to us from the depths. And I think they give more substance to our lives because we're able to see in the depth more of what is real. The deeper comes to the surface, and then more and more comes in waves, and we keep on discovering, or God keeps revealing. I cited Tillich earlier. Let me say a quote from Paul Tillich, the theologian. The name of this infinite and inexhaustible depth is God. Depth, he says, is what the word God means. Translate and speak to the depth of your life. And if you know that God means depth, you know much about God. The one who knows about depth knows about God. End quote. I think there's something profound in Tillich's thought. We cannot, of course, grasp onto God. We have these things that we think we know for a while. They're not within our control, but there is something on the horizons of these experiences that speak about the majesty, the awe, the wonder of God. And it's not that God is not real. All of a sudden we discover God is too real to be trivialized. When we experience God in the depth, it takes away our old footings, but we find ourselves somehow on more solid ground because of what has been revealed to us. Think of Jesus on the cross. Jesus on the cross, you think he would lose everything, and yet God's greatest revelation, the resurrection, the new life, out of the depth of his pain comes a new possibility. I think we all ought to hold up in our prayer and concern the people of Mexico in this last week, the earthquakes that they have experienced there. We certainly want to stand in solidarity with them on that and keep them in our thoughts and prayers. But for me, the greatest surprise in that terrible situation, the greatest surprise is the courage of the human heart, of all those people plunging into the rubble to save someone else's life. What can we have but awe at such acts of surprising courage? Such actions speak to a deeper sense of being alive. A sense Oscar Wilde talks about in his autobiography, an experience that he had. It was an experience of loss. He had lost everything in his life. He'd just been devastated. He had absolutely nothing left. And he says, quote, "And that moment seemed to save me. I saw then that the only thing for me was to accept everything. And since then, curious as it will no doubt sound, I have been happier. It was, of course, my soul in its ultimate essence that I had reached. In many ways, I had been its enemy, but I found it waiting for me as a friend." End quote. We live on the surface of things. And then somehow, out of the depths, God encounters us, and it's up to us if we're open to that encounter to experience anew what God has to say. You know, I think about what we do here at Westminster in terms of music. Every week we have powerful anthems, and we have strings and brass and bells and the band and the children singing and all of these different experiences. And what are we doing but trying to orient ourselves to be sensitive to the depth of the wonder of God, the awe, the amazement, the surprise of God teaching us, encountering us, and teaching us anew. Jesus invites his disciples, come on out to the deep waters. I think when we recognize ourselves that in our lives we have a tendency to simply float on the surface and be unaware. But for us to orient ourselves, to wake up, to listen, to look, to hear that sometime there is something from the deep that is tapping on the bottom of our boat, saying, surprise, it's time to look again, to learn again, to live again. This is an invitation from Christ, I believe, to look to the depths, to look to the depths of God's love for us, to look for the depths of God's love, and again to be surprised into life. Amen.